Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our service of worship for this morning. And a special welcome to all those who are joining us on the live stream this morning. It is good to welcome you from wherever you may be into our worship service this morning. As we come this morning, a couple of brief announcements, a reminder for folks that following the service of worship this morning, we will have the annual meeting in Caldwell Hall, so please plan to stay and be present for that this morning. This evening at 7 o'clock, we will begin our confirmation class for this year, and we're looking forward to that. So a reminder for everyone that begins this evening. And a note about communion for this morning. As always, as we keep kind of making our way through the reality of COVID, things keep changing a little bit each and every time we celebrate the sacrament, and kind of starting to edge our way towards normal, whatever that may be in the future. And this morning, what we have done is we have put the bread inside a couple of the disposable communion cups, so the trays. The bread will come out to you as it normally does, but it's completely isolated. Your little cube of bread is completely isolated, so you can pick that up out of the tray without fear of it having been touched by 60 other people before it gets to you. So if that's a concern for you, no worries this morning. And because we've grown accustomed to them, and some people may still like to be a little bit more touch sensitive than that, there are in the centers of the trays a few of the pre-filled cups with the wafers on the top. And I won't go into all the details about how you open those. You should know that by now. But a number of different ways for you to partake of the sacrament of communion this morning. And finally, birthday wishes go out to Keith Markle. Keith will be celebrating his 93rd birthday on Saturday, March the 4th. And there is a card in the McQuallen room. You may have seen it as you came into worship this morning, that you are invited to sign and share best wishes with Keith on his birthday. As we come into worship this morning, we light the Christ candle as a visible reminder to us that Christ is the light of the world and that we walk in the light of his path. The call to worship for this morning is a responsive call, and I would invite you to stand as we come into the presence of our Lord and say together the call to worship. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make of all people a feast of rich food.
A feast of well-aged wine, a rich food filled with marrow.
And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever.
It will be said on that day, "Lo, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us."
Let us come into the house of the Lord this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Ever-present God, we thank you for calling us to meet with you this day. We praise you for coming to us long before we first came to you, for knowing who we would be here today, and for knowing even our motives for coming. By your Spirit, lead and guide us during this worship to help us hear you when you speak, and to guide our responses with hearts and voices that rejoice in your presence. Amen. We come this morning singing the praise 299, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, hymn 299. Please be seated. When we gather to praise God, we remember that we are a people who have preferred our wills to His. Accepting God's power to become new persons through Jesus Christ our Lord, let us confess our sin before God and one another as we say the prayer that appears before you on the screens. Merciful God, you made us in your image, with a mind to know you, a heart to love you, and a will to serve you. But our knowledge is imperfect, our love inconstant, our obedience incomplete. Day by day, we fail to grow into your likeness. In your tender love, forgive us, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, hear the good news. The Lord is faithful to all in all his word and gracious in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. In Jesus Christ, I declare to you this day that you have been forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our hymn is 435, All Things Bright and Beautiful. Hymn 435. For those who are younger and joining us, the front of the church looks different this morning as we celebrate the Feast of the Lord's Supper. The thing about the Feast of the Lord's Supper is it goes by so many different names. And so over the next few communions, if the minister can keep his mind straight about them, and hopefully I won't repeat one twice and forget one, we'll go through the various names and why we call them what we do. So this morning, we will refer to the way the table is set before us as the Lord's Supper. Now, This week in our house, we had a birthday. And like you all, perhaps, and folks who are joining with us at home, perhaps when you have a birthday, there are a couple of things that get asked, aren't there? Usually the birthday boy or the birthday girl gets asked, what do you want to have for supper on your birthday? Right? You get a special meal on your birthday. You get to have your favorite thing. And that happened in our house this week. And the other thing, of course, that gets asked on your birthday is, and what type of cake would you like? I see heads nodding. In our house, by and large, in the Adams household, it's Beth's chocolate oatmeal cake. The recipe can be found in the Domain Women's Institute cookbook. But that doesn't matter for you because you all got to go to Domain Manitoba to get one. And they may be out of them by now. We got it when we were getting married. The Domain. So, but Beth's oatmeal chocolate cake is the best cake in the world with boiled brown sugar icing on top. I could skip the meal altogether and just go to the cake. Right? But it's, what is your favorite things? What are the things that you really, really love and enjoy? As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we come to this table set before us because this is a celebration. This is the celebration of the kingdom of God. You'll hear listen carefully during the service of communion for these words that keep coming up and in our message today as well. This morning we're going to hear a reading from Isaiah chapter 25. And in Isaiah chapter 25, what does it say about the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is going to be a party. And it's not just going to be some sort of lackluster party. It is going to be a celebration of your favorite food and the best wine will be served. And as we come here to the table of our Lord on communion Sundays or on the table or on the Sunday when we celebrate the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, we come because we have been invited, and invited not just to the table that we see here, but a much larger table where Jesus is the host in heaven and invites us to come and feast with him. All of that is part of what we mean when we use those words, we celebrate the Lord's Supper. So listen carefully this day as you hear the words of Scripture read and as you hear the message for hints and allusions to the Lord's Supper and God's great celebration in the kingdom of God. Let us come before God this morning in prayer. Let us pray. Almighty God, your word is life, and your promise is trustworthy and true. By the power of your Holy Spirit, write your word upon our hearts so that we may be your new creation. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
Good morning. Our first scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 25, reading verses 6 to 9. Let us hear the word of God. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-aged wines strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the covering that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, see, this is our God. We have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation. Our second reading also comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 98, and we will be reading it responsively. The words for the responses will appear before you on the screens. O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gotten him victory.
The Lord has made known his victory. He has revealed his vindication in the sight of the nation.
He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God.
Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises.
Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody.
With trumpets and sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord.
Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who live in it.
Let the floods clap their hands. Let the hills sing together for joy.
At the presence of the Lord, for he is coming to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity. Our third reading comes from the New Testament, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, reading verses 10 to 13. God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For what human knows what is truly human, except the human spirit that is within? So also no one comprehends what is truly God's, except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit that is from God, so that we may understand the gifts bestowed on us by God. And we speak of these things in words not taught by human wisdom, but taught by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual things to those who are spiritual.
John, reading John chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. Let us listen for God's word to his people. On the third day, there was a wedding in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine gave out, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, what concern is that to you and to me? My hour has not yet come." His mother said to the servants, "Do what he tells you to do." Now standing there were six stone jars for the Jewish rite of purification, each holding 20 or 30 gallons. Jesus said to them, "Fill the jars with water." And they filled them up to the brim. He said to them, "Now draw some out and take it to the chief steward." So they took it. And when the steward tasted the water that had become wine and did not know where it came from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew, the steward called the bridegroom and said to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have become drunk. But you have kept the good wine until now." Jesus did this, the first of his signs in Cana of Galilee, and revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. The best wine ever. As we begin this morning, there's perhaps a little background that needs to be shared about this morning's sermon. First, yes, you are not mistaken. You have heard that reading before. We read the story of the feast at the wedding in Cana of Galilee just about a month ago. And if you really, really recall that Sunday, you will remember that I think it was that Sunday that I said, you know, there are about 6 sermons that I could preach out of this text this morning, and that I kind of shared the trouble that I had all week trying to figure out which one I was going to preach. Well, Nick said I should preach them all, and so I'm going to over Lent. I'm not going to read anything but this. No, that's not quite right. I thought about it for a minute, but no. We're going to be slightly different, but you have heard it. And you're hearing it again this morning because of the series that we are going to do through Lent, although it's not 6 sermons on the same passage. But you see, in the Gospel of John, there is this unit of literature, a subunit within the larger Gospel, which is known as the Book of Signs. And you know each of the signs when you read it because it always ends with, and Jesus did this sign. You may have noted that little line there at the end in verse 11. Jesus did this sign while he was in Cana of Galilee, and all of his disciples believed in him. We'll continue to hear a refrain similar to that. And as it turns out, there are 6 signs, 6 of these miracle stories that are designated as signs and which reveal the nature of Jesus and his mission here on earth. And so during these 6 weeks of Lent, we will examine each of these signs. And we begin today with Jesus turning the water into wine. So since we spent a good deal of time about a month ago on this passage, we will begin this morning by just a cursory kind of recap of what's there and why it's important for us. John tells us that Jesus and his disciples have arrived at this wedding feast to which his mother has also been invited. It's good to remember for us that in the ancient Near East, wedding celebrations weren't just one big day, but they were a week-long series of events, feasting and hosting of friends and neighbors together. And at some point in all of this celebration, Jesus' mother comes to him and says, "They have no more wine," which would have been a great social faux pas of the day. And after an exchange between Jesus and his mother, then Jesus goes off to address this situation. Jesus orders the servants to fill the large water jars that have been used for the ritual washing before the meal. And he orders that they are refilled with water. And once they have been filled, he instructs the waiters to draw some of the water out of these huge jugs and to take it to the chief steward of the feast. When the steward tasted the water become wine, John tells us that he summoned the bridegroom and says to him, "Everyone serves the good wine first, and then the inferior wine after the guests have all become drunk." They don't care what they're drinking anymore. "But you have kept the best wine until now." Now the Greek word kalon, translated here as good, the good wine, also has implications of quality to it. Alternate meanings of the word are excellent or praiseworthy. So this isn't just good wine, as opposed to regular everyday wine in a box plonk. This is some of the best, praiseworthy stuff. This is the best wine. For the first hearers of this story, the first people to have read this episode in John's Gospel, they would have heard in those words, perhaps, a parallel with the reading that we heard from Hebrew Scriptures that Alex shared with us this morning. And this great vision of the eschatological city of God, in the middle of the book of the prophet Isaiah, filled as it is with all of the back and forth of the people going into exile and God's harsh judgment upon them, and then later on in their returning, in the middle of it there is this great poem that changes from the earthly realities of the people and points them once more to the kingdom of God. The poem actually begins at chapter 24 in Isaiah's, in the book of the prophet Isaiah. And it begins with that great prophetic formula on the establishment of the kingdom of God. Isaiah begins by writing, in that day, always is a pointing forward in prophetic language so that we should sit up and pay attention, because we're talking about God time here, not human time. So Isaiah writes, in that day, and then through chapters 24 and 25 speaks of how God will overthrow all the powers of this world, the ruthless and the exploitative, who pursue power and economic gain at the expense of others, and how God will then lift up the poor and the needy, and in him they will find refuge. Surely it would have been a message of hope for the people of Israel lost in exile, because goodness knows they were at that point the poor and the needy and those who were in need of greatest hope. The poem says there will be this great equalizing in the world. There will be a blessing for those who have nothing, and there will be, well, what at least will seem to be a curse on those who have accumulated much. But then comes the feast. The first verse that we heard this morning. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines, of rich food filled with marrow, of well-mature wine strained clear. Suddenly, in these verses that we read this morning, these particular five verses, the us and them of the old world is gone. The stories of the exploiters and the exploited are no more. But now, instead, God's focus shifts, and it is all people. In the three verses that began our reading this morning, 6, 7, and 8, Isaiah makes reference to the universal nature of the kingdom of God five different times. But it all begins with the feast. And as you might expect of any feast in the kingdom of God, it is the very best feast. A feast of rich food and the very best wine. In the vision of the end of time, the very best wine is reserved for the Lamb's great wedding banquet that celebrates God's plan of salvation. Isaiah says God's declaration is that the shroud of death that defines earth's fallen nature will be torn away. Death will be swallowed up, and God will wipe away all the tears from all their eyes. What a wonderful image is contained in those few little verses from Isaiah chapter 25. In commenting on this passage. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann notes, biblical faith is not a moral system. It is not a mode of holding on or staying in control. But it is rather an act of yielding in the present, as the poet does, to the assurance given for God's future. I like that sentence, so I'm going to say it again. It is rather an act of yielding in the present to the assurance given for God's future. For the children of God, time and again in Scripture, we hear them rehearse and remember the promises that God has made and how God is always faithful to His promises. And every time they do so, they remind themselves that they can trust in God and therefore let go of the present, knowing that God is working out a larger plan into the future. As we turn this morning in our scripture readings to these two passages, and we set them side by side, Isaiah chapter 25 and John chapter 2, I believe that they are united by the assurance of Scripture that God has a plan for the future. A plan in which God's kingdom will be established here on earth, and all that diminishes us and all that makes us less, all powers of temptation and exploitation will be no more. And we will be united in the hope of a new heaven and a new earth. The gospel lesson for which Jesus came. As Jesus begins his ministry at the wedding in Cana of Galilee, with this first powerful sign of changing water into wine, we are given a glimpse of the kingdom of God. No longer is it just a wedding feast, but it is the feast of the bridegroom and the Lamb, the feast of the kingdom of God. And because of that, Jesus provides the best wine ever. And it is abundant, and it is free. Imagine 180 gallons of the best wine ever. What a party that would be. As we come to the Lord's table this morning, we come responding to the invitation of our Lord Jesus Christ, who dwells in heaven at the right hand of the Father. As Jesus invites us to his table, he transcends the things of this earth so that we can experience the kingdom of God. Here at the table, we touch, we smell, we taste and receive the abundance of God's grace and the assurance that our God is trustworthy and true and will prevail over all the things that tempt us and make us less than the creation that God intended us to be. So come to the table. It is our Lord Jesus Christ who invites us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who holds out for us this mystical feast in which we are welcomed into the kingdom of God, and here we will receive the best wine ever. Thanks be to God for his good grace to us. Amen. What shall I render to the Lord for all of his blessings unto me? I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Let us now present our tithes and offerings to God. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for every blessing that comes from your hand and which waters the earth with good things. We give you thanks for the promise that what you have given to us will not return to you empty, but through the gift that we have received, we can bring good news to the world. Be with us as we share these gifts and all that they mean with you and with others, that your kingdom may come and your will be done in this place and around all the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let us say together the Apostles' Creed. The Creed unites us with all the Church across time and space. You can find the words to the Creed on page 539 in the Book of Praise, or as they appear before you on the screen. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Friends, this is the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus invites us to share this joyous feast. From east and west, from north and south, people will come and take their places at the banquet in the kingdom of God. Let us come before God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of all. Assure us of your mercy, and sanctify us by your heavenly grace, that we, approaching you with pure heart and cleansed conscience, may offer you a sacrifice in righteousness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen. Our communion hymn is number 543. Hear, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. We will sing the first three verses of hymn 543. Please be seated. And for those who will be looking for the pre-filled cups that we've been kind of using through COVID, if you are looking for one of those are in the wine trays. So you will have to wait a second for those to arrive to you this morning. Friends, let us hear the words of institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself. That on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same manner, he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again." As the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, I take these elements of bread and wine to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use and mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to the Lord and offer to him our prayers and praise. We begin this prayer with responsive dialogue, and the words will appear on the screen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father of mercy and God of all comfort, we acknowledge you to be the Lord, and at all times we honor your greatness and glory. First, because you created us in your own image and likeness, but chiefly because you freed us from the enslavement of sin through your only Son. You gave him in love to be made man, like us in all things except sin. But that by his death and resurrection he might bring again life to the world. Lord, we are not able in our dullness to understand the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. But true to the commandment of Christ Jesus our Lord, we come to this table, which he has left to us, to be used in remembrance of his death until he comes again. Here we declare and witness before the world that by him alone we have received liberty and life. By him alone you claim us as children and heirs. By him alone we have access to your favor, freely shown. By him alone we are raised into your spiritual kingdom, there to eat and drink with you and the Son at the most joyful table of eternal life. In this present time, we on earth have communion with you in heaven, but in the time to come, we shall be raised to that endless joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world. We acknowledge that we have received these inestimable gifts by your free mercy and grace, through your only Son, Jesus Christ, moved by your Holy Spirit, we, your congregation, give you all thanks, praise, and glory, this day and forevermore. Hear us now as we join our voices together, praying in the manner that Jesus taught us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, have mercy upon us. Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, grant us your peace. According to the holy institution and command of our Lord Jesus Christ, and in remembrance of him, we do this: that on the night in which he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body broken for you. This do in remembrance of me."
Thank you.
In the same manner, Christ took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Blood of Christ shed for you. The peace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Glory to you, God the Father, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ and crowned him with glory and honor. Glory to God the Son, who lives to plead our cause at the right hand of God, and who will come again to make all things new. Glory to God the Holy Spirit, who brings us the taste of the good word of God and the power of the age to come. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor, power and might, be to our Lord forever and ever. Amen. We turn once more to the communion hymn, number 543. Here, O my Lord, I see thee face to face. We will sing verses 4, 5, and 7. Reminder of the annual meeting, which is downstairs following worship, and as there's some food to sustain us in the course of our deliberations, we will give thanks now. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, you have fed us spiritually at this table. Now feed our bodies with the food that awaits us, that we might be strengthened to be your servant people. And now let us go out into the world, seeking to love and serve the Lord in all that we do. And as you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, this day and forevermore. Amen.